This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And good afternoon and welcome to Newsmakers. Brent is out of town, hardly working, I think, on getting airline service here to Salem. So that's why he's out of town. He's presenting them to the airlines. So we cross our fingers for Brent, and he will come back with hopefully good news. Joining me now in the studio is co-host Denise Quinn. Welcome back.
Dave, it's good to be here.
It's nice to have you back in the studio.
It's always good to be here, and I'm glad that Brent is out doing some very important work for Salem.
He is.
I wish him the best of luck with that today.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And also joining us is a school board member running again for re-election. And I totally forgot your name.
Marty Hyen.
Marty
is
Hyen.
My name.
So I'll let, I know that you know Denise very well and your friends, so I'll let Denise ask you the questions, and I may pop in or out as my usual as a co-host of the show.
Well, I'm delighted to have Marty Hyen here. And like, as you mentioned, Dave, yes, she is currently a sitting school board member. Marty, you've been on the school board for how long now?
Almost 4 years. July 1st would be four years.
4 years. Wow. So before we get started kind of digging into the nuts and bolts of this, for listeners who may not be familiar with you, may not know, you know, who Marty Hyen is, can you share a little bit of your background with people so they get a little bit of a taste of who you are?
Sure. First and foremost, I'm a mom. I've lived in my same Zone 2 home for over 25 years. My son went through pre-K through graduation. I even got to hand him his diploma, which was really awesome.
That's cool.
I'm very involved in the community with CERT, Community Emergency Response Team, mm-hmm. ham radio, and I'm also a Marin County Parks Commissioner.
Oh, wow.
I really care about my community, and I love to serve.
Well, I can tell, just given some of the things that you mentioned, they're very time consuming and they take a big commitment and a passion. You did mention Zone 2. So I just want to kind of just a little bit. School board races are a little confusing for people, and they're actually a little harder to run than your House representative race, things like that. So you say you're in a zone, but talk a little bit about how that election is going to work.
So how it works is the candidate must live in a particular zone. And every 2 years, we have multiple people running. This time it's the even number zones, mm-hmm. 2, 4, and 6. Mm-hmm. Two more years, it'll be 1, 3, 5, and 7. Mm-hmm. But the entire Salem-Keizer School District actually votes for each one of those zones. So people in West Salem or South Salem, Keizer, Northeast Salem, anywhere in that area can vote for any of the school district people.
So that makes it what's called an at-large race. So I would anticipate running a race of that magnitude, basically you need to reach out to 165,000 residents in Salem.
Yeah, pretty
now
close, yeah.
You've got to reach out to a lot of those people to make sure that you win re-election in your seat.
And it's not easy. It's three congressional districts legislative districts, mm-hmm. and having run for the legislature and done my share of knocking doors and foot stomping, It's quite a big area. So sometimes, you know, you take different approaches with that, mm-hmm. because it would take a small army in a short amount of time, because the school board race time is pretty short, in order to reach all those homes. So you need to do it, you know, through social media, radio, having your signs out, obviously, and mailers and things like that. And if you have enough volunteers, of course, then you can also do some door knocking. And we also go to a lot of events, so we can get our name out there.
Yeah. Well, before we let you go, we'll tie back up to that as far as how people can help you do that, because, like you said, bodies and people are important. But just to kind of backtrack a little bit, too, Salem-Keizer School Board, and a lot of my conversations and my travels throughout where I go and people that I interact with, when these races come up, they're typically on an off-year election, so they don't get a lot of attention if it was, say, a presidential year. But a lot of people go, you know, what exactly does a school board member do? I hear that a lot. Can you explain, what do you do as a sitting member of the school board?
Well, first of all, it's not what you think we do.
Because I know what I think you may do, and I probably am wrong.
And every school board is different, actually. If you have a smaller district, mm-hmm. they may get quite involved in details that we do not. Mm-hmm. We are the second largest district in the state of Oregon. So what we do is we're a policy district. Mm-hmm. So we're really kind of at that 1,000-foot level, making policy decisions for the directions that we want the district to go. So it's not like we go in and write policies for HR or something. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not our job. That's the district's job. But probably our most important thing we do is hire the superintendent. And we have a great superintendent. So right now our most important job is to keep her, keep her and not let her go somewhere else. We do lots of other things. Certainly, a lot of things come to us for approval, but we don't have the background or the knowledge, like the people that are actually in the trenches working, to do all the things that they do. So they bring the information to us and explain it to us, and then we get the final say on a lot of things.
So you're more of an oversight kind of a body.
Right. So you think of a big corporation and you've got a chairman of the board and their board members. Those are not people that are going then into the office and doing the work. They are making direction, you know, and for, you know, direction for the company. What direction do they want it to go? And they hire the president, right? Mm-hmm. And tell the president the direction they want to go. And that's kind of what we do in a nutshell.
Okay.
There's other things like we're in charge of purchasing property. Hmm. We don't go find the property. We don't appraise the property. But we decide whether we will purchase the property. We decide how much we will pay. Okay. Obviously, we're getting advice from experts on that because we're not. And if somebody gets expelled or suspended and wants to fight that, we're kind of like their last chance, kind of like the Supreme Court of expulsions.
For a student,
yeah.
Interesting.
So you won't hear about that because that's done under executive session. That's private information.
Okay.
But we do that, and we don't always do what people think we might do in those cases.
Well, I know your meetings, like any other public body, they're televised so people can watch them. I mean, the board agendas come out. You can see the meetings. Obviously, you don't see anything that goes on in executive session. Can you give an idea if someone was actually going to come and testify in front of the school board, what that would look like?
Sure, they can come and testify regarding anything related to the school board. Mm-hmm. If the topic is on the agenda, they're part of the first section of public testimony. They get 3 minutes, and hopefully they're kind and polite and respectful. Unfortunately, some are not. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, there's another opportunity for testimony. Again, 3 minutes for things that are not on the agenda if you have concerns. But I get a lot of people reaching out to me via email or calling me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do what I can to help them. I've sat down and had coffee with people, talked on the phone, trying to understand what they're going through, trying to, one, give them a listening ear, because sometimes people just want to be heard.
Yeah.
But then trying to give them advice and assistance in getting resolution.
I would imagine that would be a large part of your responsibility being a school board member, because you're a member of the community as well. So having that outreach back and forth would make a difference?
Yeah, so when my son was younger, I had some issues with the district, and I went to the district, and I did not feel I was heard. Mm-hmm. I felt I was pushed aside. So for me, listening to parents and even teachers, I've sat down and talked to teachers about their issues, listening to them, understanding and trying to help them is very important to me. You know, I really care about them. I want the best for them, and I want them to know that there are people on the board that care. And we'll help them if we can.
Okay, I want to touch in and dig a little bit deeper into some of this, specifically about some of the things that you're most proud of as a sitting school board member. But right now we need to take a break.
Yes.
So on the other side of our break, we will come back and talk more to Marty Hyen, who is a sitting member of the school board and running for re-election. So this is 1430 KYKN Newsmakers, and we'll be right back.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And I just spilled my tea all over the counter. No. Wow, I'm going to have to run to get some napkins. This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape. And I'll let Denise Quinn, our guest host, take over. Wow.
While you sop up the tea.
I can't believe I did that.
Well, we are back. And again, Marty Hyen is our guest this segment. She is a sitting Salem-Keizer School Board member, and she is also running for re-election. So, Marty, we kind of left off with you talking about, you know, what the school board does, what the body looks like. One of the questions we get, it's like, how much do you get paid to do this?
I get paid in satisfaction knowing I'm helping the community.
That's lovely. That's fantastic. So basically you volunteer.
Right. And at least I don't have to pay taxes on that, right?
So this is like the Salem City Council, some other bodies, boards and commissions. These are volunteer positions. So a lot of people have to ask, first of all, you've been doing this for almost 4 years. Why do you want to do it again?
Because I really care about the community, and I care about our students. You know, they're growing up and they're going to become, you know, hopefully working and happy members of our society. Mm-hmm. I want to help prepare them for what's coming. One of the first votes I got to do when I got on the school board was to approve the CTEC, which is our technical education school on Portland Road.
Mm-hmm.
It's lovely because my name's on the plaque there, which is like, I love that.
That's cool.
Yeah. But I love CTEC and everything that it's accomplishing for our kids. Do you know that, you know, even though our graduation rates aren't what we want, mm-hmm. and they are improving, by the way.
Uh-huh.
But if they go to CTEC, it's in the 90 percentile.
That's stunning, and it's fantastic and wonderful.
Right. So it's because these kids have purpose, and I want our students to have purpose. I'm a big supporter of our arts program, mm-hmm. theater and music. I know other board members are probably more into sports. I like sports in that I know that keeps kids engaged.
Mm-hmm.
We're not a big sports family myself. So it's more of those other programs that I try to support. And if kids have a reason to go to school, they will.
Yeah.
And I also like how the technical education, they tie in things like math and writing into the actual technical job that they would be doing. And so kids see a purpose for it. It's not just writing numbers to write numbers, but we're actually using it in something that we're creating or
making.
When
am I ever going to use calculus? Well, actually, here in this regard, I have always been a big fan of CTEC since it was in its inception and since it came through. And I've been excited to see those numbers as well, those graduation numbers. Same thing with music. My son is a product of Salem-Keizer Public Schools, and the music education that he received was fantastic. I mean, one of the best things that we had. So I get that. As far as, you know, your time on the board, you talked a little bit about the first vote you got to take. Something kind of pops up in your mind that you're most proud of since you've been on the board for 4 years. Has there been something you've been involved in that kind of rises to the level of something that you're really kind of proud of as an accomplishment that you had a part in?
Well, I guess what really rises to the top, besides, you know, the bond and the boundary mm-hmm. stuff, you know, making those difficult decisions, is helping one particular parent who is having some severe bullying issues. We've had personal experience with bullying. It's mm-hmm. If I talk about it too much, I usually start to cry. Yeah. I'm trying not to do that now.
Okay.
But this parent came to me, and she had an idea on something that could be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so she listened. I told her what she needed to do. She came to the school board. She talked. And then the district had said something about they were going to be doing it over the summer. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe the district was already looking at it. I don't know. Okay. But I said, she's like, no, that's not good enough. And so we pushed more, and we got the Safe Oregon on this district website.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like anonymous things where mm-hmm. people can, you know, report somebody and just to get back at them.
Yeah.
But I understand that bullying, a lot of times the bullied person is afraid to come forward mm-hmm. because they're afraid of retaliation. And this does give them a safe, anonymous ability to have somebody at least investigate what's going on. So, you know, we have lots of policies in our district about bullying and that it's not okay. We have some curriculum, mm-hmm. you know, for that, for middle school, I believe. But yet it's a huge problem. Part of it, a big part of it, I think, is social media. My son was followed to Alaska by bullies. I mean, you can't get away from it. So we have a big problem in the society. It's our whole country. It's not just Salem Kaiser. Mm-hmm. And certainly open for any ideas and solutions, but bullying is a big deal to me.
I'm glad to hear that you were part of putting that in place and that there is that it's being addressed, because you're right, it's changed from when we were in school, where you would leave school and go home and you could leave it there.
Right.
And now you're right, it is 24/7, so it sounds like the district is adapting to, because I imagine it's got to be hard for an entity as gigantic as Salem Kaiser School District to target policy specifically to technology that is ever changing.
Well, and so much of this stuff can happen after school.
Right.
And, you know, where...
And what's the responsibility of the school district after school?
So some judge said that if some child gets beat up on their way home, then it's our responsibility, even though they're not on our property. And I don't quite understand that.
Yeah,
that was somebody
doesn't make
out of Eugene.
Sense.
I don't, like I said, I don't understand that. But yeah, where does our responsibility end? But even if we're not responsible, we want to help, right? Because those are our students. We want to help them, because if they're under stress from bullying, they're not going to be learning.
No, they're not. And I like the fact that you stressed too that this was a parent that came to you and you two together sat down and kind of brainstormed and she had suggestions. Are you finding that more and more parents are reaching out to you, to school board members, not necessarily just on this issue, but others? And is that input valuable to you as a school board member to help you in your policymaking and advisory role?
Well, I'm not sure if it really helps me so much in policymaking, mm-hmm. but it does give me an insight as to what's actually going on in the district. Mm-hmm. I've helped numerous parents. I've talked to numerous parents. Not all of that I would make public. But... they just need to know what they can do. Because right now, if you make a formal complaint, I've been told, I haven't read the policy myself, okay, it takes 13 weeks potentially to get to the resolution. So this is something I hope to address with the district, that, you know, we need to come up with something else. Now, as a school board member, we wouldn't write it.
Yeah.
But we could encourage the mm-hmm. superintendent, you know, maybe to find some way to streamline that process. That's why parents come to us, because who has 13 weeks to wait? I mean, something could be very serious and really get out of control in that kind of time frame.
So I'm hearing from you that you're very involved in this. You've got a lot of things that you've accomplished in the past 4 years, almost 4 years. Moving forward, you want to be reelected to that seat. And it sounds like you have more that you want to do.
Well, yes, I want to really continue what I've been doing, which is helping parents and teachers. I'm in the process of helping a particular teacher with an issue, which I'm not going to go into,
sure,
because that's
of course
her private business. Mm-hmm. But trying to help people is what I really enjoy. And of course, shaking 400 plus hands at graduations isn't too bad either.
That's cool.
And I always have to take my hand sanitizer though, because I usually get sick afterwards, unfortunately.
Those spring or summer colds.
Right. So I really want to continue to be a voice for parents, a voice for the teachers. I want to work on bullying and promote even more technical education. College is expensive, yeah, and it's right for some people, mm-hmm, and not others. I myself went and had a technical education. I had a technical education at 20. Mm-hmm. I had a 20-year career based on that. Mm-hmm. I did go to Schmacada finally at 30. Took me 5 years to get my associate's, yeah, because I had to work full time,
yes,
while I went to school. But I did that just for my personal, mm-hmm, desires, you know, so that technical education did great things for me.
I'm glad to see the district and many districts across the country are recognizing that college is a track for some, but not for all. So you have a campaign to run. Like we talked about earlier, it is an at-large race. You've got to reach the entire city, basically. People who are listening, who like what they're hearing from you, who want to maybe reach out and help you, what is it that they can do? How can they find out more about you?
They can go to my website, mm-hmm, which is hyenfororegon.com. It's H-E-Y-E-N-F-O-R-Oregon.com.
So you probably need sign waivers, people to put signs in their yards, write letters to the editor, things like
Absolutely. Just pretty much the traditional things you think of that a candidate might need. And if you want to help and you don't know what to do, please email me. You can email me at Marty, M-E-R-T-Y, at highendfororegon.com. If you forget how to spell my name, just look for a sign. They're out and about, and I'll be placing some more today.
I actually saw a bunch of them when I was driving over here. They are out and about.
They are. I had put out all the ones from my previous campaign. I saved those because I believe in fiscal responsibility.
Nice.
And I had to order more because there was high demand, and I just got them yesterday, and we're going to start delivering.
Well, I love what I'm hearing from you. I know you've been, you're busy, you're in the trenches, you really care. Before we wrap up and let you go, is there anything, one last message you want to impart to people that are listening as far as why it's important for you to retain your seat on the school board and stay in that position?
Well, as long as I'm on there, they have somebody who will take the time to listen. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I know not all people do listen, mm-hmm. but I will listen. And I will do my best for not only the parents, but also the taxpayers. I'm also a taxpayer, mm-hmm. and I'm very cognizant of anything that we do that might affect them. And I just, you know, really enjoy helping people. And I just hope I can have an opportunity to finish, maybe get farther on bullying. Mm-hmm. I do want to see McKay done. That has been something on the bond,
yeah.
Right?
That's right, because the ongoing bond work.
Mm-hmm. Right. I really want to see that to completion. That would make me very happy.
Well, I hope you get that the election goes well for you. Again, your website is
highendfororegon.com. That's HEYENFOR, Oregon.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Marty.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Marty.
So what do you
all
think?
Good stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So we've got some good people that are up and running. I know you've had other candidates on earlier in the week.
And we have more coming.
More coming?
Yeah. It'd be fun.
It's always good to hear from candidates. I think it's important that they have a forum so people can get to know,
I like
to know
meeting
the candidates.
Them.
Yeah.
Finding out what makes them tick.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Time for a quick break. We'll be back with more Newsmakers on 1430. KYKN, Salem, is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center. Welcome back to Newsmakers. I'm Dave Bourne, along with co-host Denise Quinn in the studio, filling in for Brent, who's out on his endeavor to help bring aviation service to Salem.
Commercial air service to Salem. I remember back when we had commercial air service in Salem back in the day, and I actually utilized it and loved being able to drive from my house to the airport in 5 minutes.
Right. Brent had to get up at 3 a.m. this morning and drive to Portland.
Yeah.
And then pay for the
privilege of parking. Everything else. We had my dad fly out from New Jersey and fly in here, and his flight was a little bit late, so we had to go back home and hang out at the house for about half an hour and then come back down. So I am a huge fan, a big proponent of getting commercial air service back to Salem. So Godspeed, Brent.
Yeah, right. He told me he was going to be like a presentation dating is basically what it is.
Really?
Where you get 20 minutes with each airline. This is what he told me yesterday.
Oh, so he's wooing the airlines today.
Yes, he's wooing them.
Did he dress nice? Do we know?
Oh, yeah. he dresses in like a suit almost every day.
I know. He's a dapper guy.
Yeah. So he sits down with them for 20 minutes and tells them, here, gives them all the information.
Yep.
And says, we'd be interested in talking with you more about bringing service to Salem. What do you think? And then be in touch.
And he's a good guy to do it. He knows the issue inside and out. He's very well spoken. So I have the highest of confidence that he will do that.
Yeah, he has somebody else helping him with that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think they're doing that tomorrow because today was travel day.
Right. Well, again, it is important having commercial air service for we're the capital.
Right.
And I can think of just in other avenues of my life where having that commercial air service for business, for government, for all kinds of things that, you know, having to do that 3 a.m. to make a 6 a.m. flight is just, well,
brutal.
In my mind, it's terrible.
It's brutal.
It is.
I I was shocked to find out that there wasn't air service here in Salem.
I think most people would be. There's not commercial air service because we do have the airport. I'm just curious, and I know they've had, I'm going to a presentation about this that I think Brent is presenting at in a couple weeks. But I know our airport, the runway, because it is long enough, if I'm not mistaken, for like a 737 or not necessarily least, maybe a 757.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be curious to hear when he gets back for him to update us on how that went, because I'm excited about that.
Yeah, and the airport's all for it. I mean, they're ready and willing to do it. A lot of support from the community behind him in getting the money, and he secured a grant.
Yeah, what was it, $500,000?
I don't know if it was that much, okay. But he said it was...
Part of it.
Yeah, part of it. And he said it was enough for marketing airline service coming to Salem and getting the setup at the airport for it as well. So... our fingers and toes are crossed for that.
I can imagine TSA, and I'm using air quotes here, would be a lot easier and not as unpleasant as it is at PDX.
I don't know. I've been to some small airports where they're more strict.
Either that or they're like, hey, Dave, have a nice trip.
They know you. They wave you through.
They know you. Okay.
They'll wand you real
quick.
Not
a threat.
They'll wand you with the wand real quick. Rather than strip search and take your shoes off and your belt and your... everything out of your pockets to go through the scanner.
Yeah, you always want to hope for TSA pre-check so you can go through quickly. The last time I flew, it was actually to Europe, and it was much easier, except for the guys at Heathrow. Heathrow guys were not nice.
Yeah. I wonder why.
I don't know. They had an attitude. They copped an attitude. And, of course, part of it was my fault as I brought little jars that were a little too large.
Yeah, they are
but
not
they,
happy
they seem to
that.
Take glee in disposing of my very expensive facial cleanser.
Oh, wow.
So I take full responsibility for not packing right, but they had a little too much glee when they dumped it.
Well, we totally forgot about that when we came back from vacation in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And we were stopping in Atlanta. We picked up, we went to the Coke Center, mm-hmm. and she bought a Coke collector can full of Coke.
Coca-Cola,
right?
Yeah.
But it was sealed.
How many ounces?
I don't remember.
But over three.
Yeah, it was over three. It was like 6 ounce bottle or 8 ounce bottle. It was a little one. And she totally forgot about it. It was stuffed inside a coffee mug that we bought and some socks. And she had it all safe. And they took it all out and they just dumped out her carry-on. And there was other stuff in there that could have broke.
Yeah.
And the guy was just like, shoo. Toss that. He was not happy with her. She was not happy that he tossed that. But Coke stepped up and they resent us the bottle.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So they mailed it. So she told her tale of woe and she got some recompense from the company. That's good to know. Way to go, Coca-Cola.
Yeah. We totally forgot about it. It got tossed in the TSA line. And that was the one time that we didn't get the pre-check.
Yeah.
Yes. We had to go through and we stripped.
I know.
Shoes.
Gee, and don't you feel safer? Like the airways are safer because you and your wife had to strip.
Nothing like stripping down, going through this, and then redressing.
Yeah.
In front of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That's always so pleasant.
Oh my gosh.
Right? All right. Let's move on.
A little too many harsh memories. We don't want to go with that. So, there are all kinds of good things happening in Salem. I mean, I've lived in Salem for so long and I've been excited. The whole Keep Salem Awesome. I mean, we've got new restaurants that are opening up. There's just good stuff. And it's nice that the community is there's a lot of activity and involvement from people who really do love this city. And so, again, with what Brent is doing, bringing the air travel down there, this will get more people to visit Salem, which is always cool. I don't know if you remember the big eclipse in 2017 and what that meant for this community as far as hundreds of thousands of people coming in from all over the world to watch that eclipse, which was amazing.
Yes, I actually stepped out to watch it and I only had a partial.
Oh.
Yeah, and because the traffic coming down here was brutal.
Yeah, yeah. I was already here. I ended up taking the day off of my day job to do that and sat out and watched that. So, you know, again, having that air travel, opening up that access to us is just going to be amazing and do good things for economic development, which is so important. So there's, you know, that's part of, you know, infrastructure and things like that. And I know you guys have talked about the Third Bridge and some of the challenges that we're facing.
Don't bring that up.
I know, and I'm not going to go there. I'm pretty much in line with how you guys feel about it. And I've been pretty vocal about being frustrated about it. It pretty much is a done deal now. But, you know, again, it goes back to when you get involved, part of getting involved not only is volunteering, but it's like what Marty is doing, which is stepping up and running for election.
True. And as Brent always says, you know, there's lots of committees you can get involved yeah. with that they're like the ear for I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, now. It's the farm team. You're building up a farm team.
Well, yeah, they're the people though that do the recommendations yeah. to the school board or to the
city council. There's boards and commissions that people, you know, and what I'm finding, and I get frustrated sometimes with people, and I think they get frustrated is they don't know what they can do when they see decisions that are made. And if they hadn't been really aware of what's been going on, it seems like a surprise to them. But there's actually a long process that goes into those decisions being made. And so residents and people, constituents can be a part of that process as it goes through and inform that process with their opinions. So I've always wanted people to step up and be more involved in that. I remember in, you know, a couple of past election cycles, people get very focused at the sort of 10,000 foot level presidential level.
Right.
But where the rubber hits the road literally is at the local level. And so, again, having Marty on, I know you've had Dr. Chandragiri, Sacha and Danielle Bethel, who are all running, and plus you're going to have other candidates on, the importance of, if you really are passionate about your community, to step up in a role of elected official or a board and commission, something where your voice is then heard. Because for a lot of times it seems like there are voices that are heard, and they always say it all goes to whoever shows up. It's time to start showing up.
Right. And then there's the people that show up to every school mm-hmm. board meeting or every city council meeting, and they're against all that or they're for that. And those are just the small voices, but not necessarily all of us.
Right. So if there is something that you want to see happen, let's say some kind of a policy, Marty was talking about talking to parents,
right.
how parents would come in and then she would have a conversation and that would inform the way and the sort of the lens that she's looking at some of these issues through is based on what this parent who took the time out of their day to go in and speak to her or to come and testify or to testify in front of city council. City councilors, school board members are you and me.
Mm-hmm.
They're us. They have lives. They're not subject matter experts in everything. They need someone to inform them, to tell them, and to educate them. So I can't myself stress the importance enough of being that person who then informs, communicates. And I get frustrated with social media because a lot of people think they're sort of getting their point of view across that on social media when it's becoming much more of an echo chamber mm-hmm. and we're becoming very siloed on social media. So my recommendation always is pick up the phone, invite somebody to coffee, go talk to them. And right now we're in the time of candidate meet and greets. Go meet these candidates. We have great people running for office and they need our support.
Absolutely. And face-to-face
yeah.
or phone call, that's always better than reading about them or seeing what they're doing on social media.
Right, which is part of it. But again, you know, social media, typing has no tone of voice, but you can meet somebody and look them in the eye and you mm-hmm. can get a real sense of what their passion is and that they, you know, whether you want to give them, if they need to earn your vote. And so whether they can earn your vote, it's good to go to those things.
Yes, and to see the passion in her, you could hear it mm-hmm. when she was talking, but to see it in her eyes too
right.
when she was talking was pretty powerful.
Yeah.
All right. We got a couple minutes left. I wanted to chat a little bit about the school board budget presentation.
Mm-hmm.
It made the news today, and they got a presentation slide here that I found rather interesting. Well, that was last year, though.
Yeah, I know Christy Perry, superintendent, gave a presentation to the budget committee. Was it last night?
Last night, yeah.
I remember something piquing my interest in it, something about transportation and drivers. Salem Kaiser School District operates its own bus services. A lot of them contract out. A lot of districts do. Salem Kaiser keeps it in-house.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to say, in full disclosure, I'm not 100% up to speed on what that budget looked like, but that piqued my interest that there might be some change with that. I don't think they're going to take it out. Something about adding positions. Again, didn't have a chance to read it.
Well,
but I'm always interested because it's sort of unique what Salem Kaiser does that way.
Well, I see here with the 2019-20 budget that transportation and that is slight down.
Yeah.
Proposed down cut of 15.7%.
Interesting. I wonder what that's going to mean. And transportation in the district can be difficult, especially the special programs where sometimes you have only one or two kids on the bus. That's expensive.
Right. And then purchased service. Services are something like that, down 8.6%, and cutting maintenance minus 24.1%.
That's interesting.
That's a lot.
Former working with the maintenance and custodial group for a long, long, long time, the work that these guys and gals do.
Mm-hmm. And so then there's also general or federal funds. They're expected to drop off 8%. And food service is expected to drop down 5%.
So those are some challenges for our school district coming in this year. And I know they've got the bond. They've got continuing ongoing work. Marty mentioned the work going on at McKay and other schools that are going on. So it sounds like things are going to be a little bit leaner.
But the balance is the gross total all funds together is actually up 0.5%.
So they're strategically cutting in certain areas.
Yeah.
Be interesting to talk to some of the people that are responsible for those areas that are being cut on how they're going to manage that.
Be interesting if we can actually get her on tomorrow.
Yeah, that would be a good conversation.
That might be possible.
Yeah, I know she's very well respected and doing good work, and I know Marty speaks very highly of her, and other school members, board members that I know speak very highly of her. And so, yeah, that'd be a great conversation to tune into tomorrow.
Absolutely, if she's on tomorrow. Yeah. I haven't confirmed yet.
Okay, well, we'll hope.
All right.
We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Time for a break on Newsmakers. I'm Dave Bourne. She's Denise Quinn. This is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Denise should probably do this one. This segment of Newsmakers proudly sponsored by Hamblin's Nursery.
I love doing those spots because I get to say magenta.
Yeah, right.
I love the word magenta. Yeah.
There's just certain words you can say and they sound so fancy.
It's better than pink. It's magenta. Plus, I need to get out to Hamblin's Nursery because their hanging baskets are amazing.
Yes, we heard that from Warren when he was out there last Friday.
Warren Franklin.
Yeah.
Love him. Yeah. Hamblin's is great too. So I'm going to be planning a trip out there pretty soon.
Worth the drive.
Yeah, definitely. Someone said that.
Right.
I think it's worth the drive.
I think that was out there in the commercial. I think Warren said that too. So now that you're kind of guest hosting today and Friday.
Yes.
What have you been up to lately? Let's update everybody.
Well, I have a day job, which, you know, I don't talk about, but
sure.
Why
would you?
I know it's a day job, which is great. But I've been doing working with a friend of mine who owns a theater company or a filmmaking studio. And we've been branching out, talking about how there's a lot of talent in Salem and a lot of people that are looking for talent, whether it's behind the mic, in front of the mic, behind the camera, they tend to go to Portland. So we're putting together a group and it's called Mid Valley Voice Artists. And what we're doing is we're gathering voiceover people, which you should look into this, Dave, and kind of having a consortium where we're branching out and partnering up with local media groups, radio stations, film production, anything that needs a voice, because you'd be surprised that you're surrounded by voiceover all day long, whether you know it or not. It's TV, radio, you know, just the ad you just played. Well, that's a voiceover. That's something that I read and did that. So what Rick Lord with Matchlight Films, what we're doing is trying to have a sort of a clearinghouse for people that are interested, but you don't really know how to start. How do you make money with your voice?
Right.
It's hard.
Yeah.
You know, or you just love it and you want to just do it for free, or you want to get into local theater. There's all kinds of things. And so Mid-Valley Voice Artists, we have a Facebook page. You can go out and check that out. And I would encourage you, if you've ever thought about doing that, it is a blast.
Took me 30 years.
Did it?
To secure work.
Yeah.
For voice work.
Yeah. A lot of times, and I know a lot of people in the industry were getting kind of frustrated because all of a sudden big name Hollywood stars started getting in on it. It's like, well, I can't compete with Bradley Cooper if I want to do Rocket Raccoon on Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, you can't compete necessarily. And so what we're saying is, again, like politics, bring it local.
Right.
There is talent right here in Salem that is ready, willing, and able, and really eager to work on projects for people. So that's what Mid-Valley Voice Artists is for. So I would definitely check it out. You can also DM me if you want, I'll tell you all about it because I'm super excited about it.
Can't tell.
Yeah, I know. I'm very excited. I love voiceover work. I have a blast doing it. I love it.
Yeah.
It's really a lot of fun.
I do it for an outside agency that goes, it's called National.
Yeah.
And they have it's specific markets. And
yeah.
They send me commercials for it. The safety message brought to you by these fine folks, you know.
And it's probably airing in Oklahoma or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carolina, South Carolina,
yeah,
Texas,
yeah,
Utah, and a couple here.
And it's amazing. You can set up a home studio with, you know, a relatively inexpensive mic, some foam padding, or, you know, I've recorded demos in a closet.
That explains a lot about you.
I came out of it today to be on the show. But again, yeah, there's so much, and it's an exciting thing to be able to do, whether it's a career or just kind of a sideline thing. So yeah, that's why we put together Mid-Valley Voice Artists.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I know those guys. They had a commercial on here not too long ago.
Yeah.
Advertising for that very thing.
Exactly.
Make money with your voice.
It can be done.
Me, 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 me.
Oh, the little exercises you need to do to get ready to record, or you don't want that on video. It's not pretty. It's not pretty.
Don't want it on the radio either.
No, no. That's all done pre-recording.
Right, right. You know, you could always end up in a movie too.
Yeah, sure.
You never know.
You never know. And with technology, you don't have to live in the city. You know, a lot of people thought you had to go to LA or New York or, you know, some of the bigger markets. You probably will get more work there if you go there, but you can do a lot of voiceover stuff from, you know, a small studio space in your own home.
Right.
And for relatively not a lot of money if you've got that voice. And again, voice acting is acting. So you need to remember that it is actually acting.
Dang, I can't act. I just don't have that talent. I can do voice stuff, but not acting. And
there's industrial films. You think of a tutorial that you take online. Somebody had to record that voice telling you which button to click.
That's true.
So there's that as well.
Yeah.
So
you could be the narrative person, like going through on a tour.
Yep.
Yeah. I had to. Did you ever go through a thing in school where they're like, well, you might be good on TV. Did you ever try that?
Those sort of aptitude tests kind of things?
Well, no, I did a demo for TV.
Really?
Reading the news on for some kind of project that kids were doing.
Interesting.
And they wanted me to try out. And I was really scared. It's amazing the pressure of TV.
Yes. It's vastly different than radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have.
It's a different beast.
They told me I had a face for TV, but I prefer the microphone in a studio where, you know, I'm talking to one other person.
Yeah.
Or just myself.
And you can be, you know, you can be in your jeans and your UGG boots and nobody cares that you don't have any makeup on in my case.
I prefer pajamas. Yeah.
Pajamas and UGGs.
Well, you look good with no makeup on. But.
I actually have some on today. But.
Oh, okay.
See, that's the beauty of radio. Nobody knows whether I do or don't.
All right.
Uh-huh.
In the last minute now, let's tell everybody what we have coming up Friday when you join us again for guest hosting.
Yes, I'm excited. My very good friend, Jeff Reynolds, who is an Oregonian. He is a podcaster. He's also an author. He's got a brand new book out called Behind the Curtain, and he's going to come on and spend some time talking to us about some of the work he's done, kind of digging into the finances between what's been happening with the sort of the Democrat leftist progressive party, and he's done a lot of homework on that. He's got a great Oregon connection. He's been involved in political activism. Again, like I said, he's got a podcast, so I think it's going to be a fascinating, however long we can have him. He's got to come down from Portland. But yeah, he's really dug deep and done a lot of the research, and a lot of it's a little scary,
right?
But it is what it is. And so it's Jeff Reynolds, Behind the Curtain. He'll be on Friday with us.
Sounds good. Along with Mitch Graff from the Volcanoes here.
Yeah,
we always wrap up Fridays with him.
Cool. All right. Cool.
Denise Quinn, thank you for guest hosting today, and we'll see you again on Friday.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
You betcha. You've been listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening. It's 12:57.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.